From the T2 Ranch Studios, it is Rodeo Rock Radio with Gus Kronberg, Justin Ward, and me, Benny Paulson, featuring copyright-free, exclusively music from my band, Breaking 8. Got a good show today, guys. We got the T2 Ranch Report. Going to kick it off right here. Our featured guest this week is Mr. Nate Morrison from the Breeders Connection. He's got a great story to tell. It's going to be good. And he's going to join us for the Western Edge Rodeo Report. And then later on, the Top 8, Breaking 8 Top 8. Stay tuned to see what that's going to be. Thank you to our sponsors, our collaborative partners. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Doing awesome. It's been a great week.
Oh, yeah, it's been nothing but a great week.
I don't know. I could maybe
beg to differ.
I could maybe find reasons why it's not so great. No, it's been a great week. It was the week for me was a little bit almost dull compared to the calving and everything we've had going on. But
except the bronc ride that you
experienced about three hours ago.
Yeah, today kind of made up for it. Quite a bit. We'll get to that. Everybody's alive. I'm sore. I should be able to walk all right tomorrow. It's all good. It's all good. Progress. Yeah, we're forging ahead.
That's right.
Let's get right into the ranch report.
The ranch report for this week. We've been busy. We started out the week moving the rodeo cows down the road out to greener pastures. We had one calf right before we kicked them out. And since then, we've had about four or five more.
Five on the ground.
Five.
It's cool. I'm tickled every time I drive past those rodeo cows. They're kind of the turd in the punch bowl. They're just something different to look at. I mean, if you drive all around North and South Dakota in all of the Midwest, you see red or black.
And so you can definitely tell, like, when the neighbors go by, they slow down when they see them rodeo cows in the pasture. Sure. I mean, they're like, what are those things with horns?
Because they're Mississippi swamp cattle.
They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. Hey, did you... You got a bunch of video.
I did.
For those of you that don't know, Mr. Kronberg is our resident videographer with his company Hooked Up Enterprises, and he's doing a lot of videography work for Breaking 8 music videos and always doing stuff. Of course, T2 Ranch Life.
T2 Ranch Life.
On Facebook.
Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And, of course, we put our weekly vlog on YouTube, and then we put a clip of it, just a short clip of it on Facebook and Instagram. But once you guys see that come out, make sure you check out the YouTube video because there's 10 to 15 minutes of just action-packed adventures here on the ranch that is fun to watch, and it's fun to film. We're doing a ton of stuff every day.
And you never know what's going to happen. It's all authentic. It's nothing. We're not scripting any of it. I mean, it happens.
Little to none.
We keep it fun. It's funny. And but also it's serious business.
It's serious. It's how we live our life.
If you missed the first vlog, you'd have seen us pulling a calf that didn't make it. But then you'd have seen later that cow, you know, we saved the cow, which was a win. And then we had a twin pale calf, a calf that was a twin that got her mom. You know, it was pretty emotional, pretty serious stuff. It ended up good. And those are the types of things you're going to see. Check out T2 Ranch Life right now. Check out Gus Kronberg, Justin Ward, or Breaking 8, myself, Benny Paulson, just so you know who you're listening to right now. And then you'll be able to identify with what we're saying a little bit more. That being said, we trailed them rodeo cows down the road, and it's so fun. These cows are big horns, and they're exotically beautiful. Any footage of that out yet? You got a bunch of footage?
Nothing out yet. I'll probably put a teaser out tomorrow just to show everyone.
Cool.
They're fun, and of course, we're trailing them cattle on some Ranch Bro courses, and a lot of them, Buster and Bam, are Bennies and come from the ranch, and we got more than a handful of horses that we're working on for people outside, for clients, and whether it's finishing a broke horse or starting a colt, we're doing a little bit of everything at the moment. Justin stays busy, I stay busy. We're riding horses every day. It's a ton of fun.
I'd say we got a Remuda of horses.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No, it's every shape, color, and size too.
If it wasn't for eating so much hay, it would be friggin' cool, though, because I love seeing a pen full of horses.
Oh, yeah, you gotta love them.
It's neat. Yeah. It's neat. It's fun. You guys do a good job training. Might need to put a little more time on Buster, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to Buster in a minute here, talking about the different the slug of horses we have. You know, we got colts that are 14 hands tall, just learning. They're babies. And then we got some big old drafty-looking suckers from Kevin Is it Holton?
Kevin Holton, the executive producer of Wild Rides and Special Cowboy Moments on Cowboy Channel and RFD TV.
He brought us a couple of projects that they got off the trailer. They're spooky.
Some scary-looking suckers. I mean, they snort and they intimidate people.
And here yesterday, both of them on their third ride, we took them both out of the pen, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And they did fantastic. They did a great job. And that goes to show if you can put in the time in the round pen in the first couple of days, the rest of their stay here is going to be filled with a ton of learning and
just a
great
lot
progress.
Of adventure.
Yeah,
I mean the sky's the limit with these ones.
I'll tell you my favorite part about these new horses is that Gus is 6'8", and he's been riding these colts and these little horses, and it looks so goofy because this guy is huge. And you just get used to seeing Mongo riding around the T2 because he's riding these tiny little young horses. And then to get on these big burly buggers, he looks normal.
Yeah, they don't look so big when he's on them. Yeah. But, you know, when I jump on them, you know, they still look pretty big.
Well, and I don't mean to brag here, but my favorite mount of all of them, steeds in the pen there, is Juan.
Juan Jose?
Juan Jose the donkey?
9-inch ears. I mean, just the biggest heart. The guy's awesome.
So, speaking of social media, what I do when I'm off the ranch and these guys are around, and I'm always a little bit nervous when I'm not on the ranch and it's in these guys' hands, I'm not going to lie. But what I do is, if I want to know what's going on, I go to Justin Ward's Snapchat because he's Snapchatting everything. So, if something's wrong, it's going to be on Snapchat.
It has to be.
So, for instance, the other day, I check his Snapchat. There's a horse out in the yard. Of course, it's Deuce. I know Deuce is an escape artist. He gets out that gate if you don't chain it shut. There's documentation of it. Today, we get done moving these cows. We get done with the debacle of almost getting me killed. And then I come back to the studio to get set up for the radio show. And then I'm waiting for them guys to get over here. And it's not but an hour and a half. And I check Justin's Snapchat while I'm waiting for him. And they had rode the donkey, who never's really been rode.
No. Not in many years.
They had been riding the little forest, the new little colt forest.
Brand new little Palomino stud colt.
Riding him around
bareback. Three rides, maybe?
Three rides, and we already got him bareback.
Yeah. He's interesting. He come from a lady out in
Fairview, Montana.
It was posted on Facebook. They were giving away two colts for free.
For free?
Justin says, Gus, we got to go get this horse. And I was like, okay, man, whatever. Like, oh, I'm always up for an adventure. And we get there, and it's the place that you would expect a free horse to come from. I'll leave it at that.
It was definitely a rescue situation.
And he looks like what a free horse would look
yep.
like. Not
little,
in great
look,
shape.
Looked like he
small,
could use a sandwich.
Probably
sure.
A little skinny, so we've been pouring the grain to him a little bit, kind of getting fat and up.
Such a happy little guy, though.
He is, and we've handled him very little. And he's got the biggest heart, a ton of promise, and he's going to be for sale later, and someone is going to make out with a great horse. He's super exciting to watch.
For sure.
So I've been stuck in the tractor a lot of the week trying to get the crop in the ground, grow some feed.
Doing some cowboy farming.
Cowboy farming at its finest.
What does that
Mr.
mean,
Benny Paulson?
What does that mean?
Well, I'm farming, but I'm still cowboying.
Does that mean you got your cowboy boots on, but your baseball cap and your...
This coming from the guy who wears tennis shoes riding horse.
Yeah. You had a bungee cord hanging from your belt the other day. That kind
of bungee cord. It was a tarp strap, dude. That's what farmers
keep them britches up.
You never know when you need tarp strap down a hydraulic hose or something.
That's right.
You know, but when you're farming, you know, when you're a cowboy and you're cowboy farming.
So,
because we're cowboying all the time.
Farming is very, it's a little monotonous, pretty slow going. Let's talk about today, which was almost the exact opposite in every way.
We made up for it today.
Action packed.
I think Gus was like, man, you've been sitting in a tractor. You ain't had much activity. Let's get it all into 1 hour.
Yeah,
let's get it on.
We set off, and Benny's a steward of the land, so we kicked them rodeo cows out last week. Time to rotate. Time to keep that grass growing. So we push them out to another pasture. Get done doing that. That was successful. It went very well. And I've had this idea in my head for an opening shot of log number three, which you can expect by Friday or Saturday.
Did you say Brendan Butterfield drove by and was
Snapchatting?
Yeah,
he got it
moving
on Snapchat and everything.
I'll check out
with
Brendan's
me and my
Snapchat
blazer.
So we set out and we got a calf tag, and I got to handle business first.
Oh, yeah?
And I set up my tripod in the middle of the pasture, and the shot is all three of us going mock chicken past the camera. That's going to be our intro shot, or maybe our outro shot. I haven't decided yet.
Either or. It's just going fast.
Going fast. And
Ricky Bobby.
Take number one. It went poorly. I was riding a little gray horse who is just slow. He's pokey. He's a good horse, but he's slow. These guys are riding horses that mean it and get after it. Take off. They're a little ways out ahead of me. It was very apparent that after we had passed the camera, the rodeo had started.
I think I figured it out. Buster, when he knows he's on camera,
he's just gotta perform.
He's gonna perform.
Yeah, that's that bucking horse blood in him.
And by God, he did.
Joe Simon, for that.
He went to bucking, and by the grace of God, Benny absolutely made a beautiful bronc ride. It was awesome.
There is no way it was beautiful.
Oh.
I felt like a...
You were out of shape two or three times.
I was bad out of shape. I lost a stirrup. I was just... I think I broke a finger because I was grabbing for anything I could hold on to. I mean, it was nip and tuck. And the worst part is, we're running. We're wide open.
Yeah.
And he goes to setting up. And I don't mind riding a horse that bucks. Matter of fact, sometimes I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But not when you're full speed and they go to setting up because the ground's going by fast and they're hitting the ground hard and... If you come off, you're going to roll.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you hadn't stretched before we got on.
I was not properly warmed up.
No. But
at all.
And the sad part was, he was on the oldest horse in the group.
Gus
was on a 3-year-old. I was on a 4-year-old. And I mean, Buster's got to be at least 10.
Yeah.
And has been around the place for many years.
Many years. Buster's dumped a lot of people off, though, from what it sounds
like. He's claimed
me.
I was a victim about 3 years ago.
Yep. He's a special kind of horse, but by God, we got her done. We got some good footage.
Did, yeah.
And
Benny stuck him. We're proud of you.
I'm just glad I lived through that, that's for sure.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Been
Mr.
a long
Benny
day.
Paulson.
Been a long day.
I guess to kind of round out the ranch report here, a horse that's been on the place for a couple months now, he goes by the name of Kingpin. He's 16. He's dead broke. Good-looking horse. And we've had him for sale. He come from the Enzies.
Yep, the Enzies up in Golden Valley.
He come to Justin just to get some rides and get sold. And 3 months later, we got him sold to a
A really nice young lady from up Minot, just going to use him as a trail horse. And, I mean, I'm sad to see him go, but I'm glad he's finally going to be used for, something that somebody's going to enjoy him for.
For sure, for sure. So,
right on, guys. Well, we got a lot to get to in this program.
Yes, sir.
Just to round out the ranch report, we're just about done calving. Just about done calving the beef cows. I think there's 8 or 9 left today, I counted.
It's a sad day, but I mean,
it
means profit.
On to the next one, we're getting into branding season.
I was going to say branding
springtime.
Season. Branding's coming up.
Love branding season. Matter of fact, our top eight, our breaking eight top eight, might have something to do with branding. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be good if you're getting ready to go to brandings or if you're just wondering what it is. We're going to give you a little insight. After this, we are going to get Nate Morrison on the phone. We're going to get his story. It is an inspirational story that is going to make you appreciate life a little bit more. And it's going to be good. He's going to join us for the Western Edge Rodeo Report right after this song by Breaking Eight. This is Still Around.
Hey! through, you know the quiet town. I think about you and how I let you down. I try to call you, but you don't pick up the phone. I didn't think that leaving would keep me this alone.
Around Breaking Eight, new album coming out. Speaking of Breaking Eight, real quick, I gotta plug my band, boys. Is that all right?
You better. I mean, I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
We are in crunch time right now because we got a new album. This album that's Still Around is going to be on. It's coming out May 15th. Presale starts this week. Mr. Kronberg is making us music videos. Gus and Brent, everybody had hooked up.
For sure.
We are working hard.
I'd love to tell you they were done by now, but they're not. The only reason being, we want to make them awesome, and they're going to be.
Good things come to those who wait. They're going to be good. Plus, next week, I mean, we're fine next week.
Oh, yeah, you got plenty of time, but it's an amazing album, and you're not going to want to miss out on this opportunity.
It's going
to
be awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. We'll be releasing teasers. Check out Breaking 8 Facebook, Breaking8.com for all that stuff. It's going to be fun. All right. We're going to get Nate on the phone. Are we ready?
Oh, we are ready.
Are we ready for Nate? I'm going to hit send because last week I figured out how to do this to have callers on the air, and it's pretty exciting.
Give them the old
it's ringing
contest.
Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Hello,
caller number 4, you're on Rodeo Rock Radio.
Well, how is life at the T2 Ranch?
I tell you what, we're alive. It is good. It is real good. How's life for you, Mr. Nate Morrison?
I tell you what, just taking it day by day. One day at a time. That's all we can do right now.
Glad to hear. Well, welcome. It is an honor to have you on the program. We're going to start this off. We're gonna have you be a part of our Western Edge Rodeo Report. Who's got this? Justin, you got the start of this?
I don't. I'm taking it over, and the only reason being, since last week, we watch all the major networks and all the major sites for news to come out, and we really haven't seen a lot. Everyone is, right now, I guarantee you, the committee meetings are happening. Everyone's trying to figure out whether or not they're still going to have their rodeos. Anything that's kind of on the edge right now, it's being discussed about and talked about, and hopefully they happen. But the only thing that hasn't stopped is the selling, the relocation of bucking stock, bucking bulls, bucking horses. Stock. And when you're talking about that, you're talking about Mr. Nate Morrison.
Also known as Futurities. Nate, give us your insight. Nate, preface that real quick. We talked about the Breeders' Connection. We'll have you tell us a little bit about that. What are you seeing in the world of rodeo, Nate? What can you tell us that we don't know?
Well, you know, just in the last month or so, these online video futurities have really taken off. And, guys have been putting together ways to have virtual jackpots even with bull riding and bucking horses and everything.
Explain to our listeners that might not know what you're talking about. Tell us, give us a little more detail on what a futurity is.
A bucking bull futurity and bucking horse futurity. The bull futurities are competitions for yearling age bulls or 2-year-old bulls, and they're bucked with a remote box dummy, and they're just scored basically on their performance with the 4 judges or so, just marking them like they would with a rider if a rider was on them, marking them for their kick, their spin, their intensity, difficulty, you know, and everything. And there's a lot of money over the years in the futurity system and these bull competitions to where these bulls can win a bunch of money before they even get a rider put on them.
I tell you what, it's been good for the rodeo world as far as having high quality bucking stock too for the competitions. It's been awesome for that.
Oh man, it's taking it to a whole new game right now. I mean, it's everybody's, you know, with their breeding programs and fine tuning these athletes. It's unreal what it takes to be competitive in the futurity game, and then you know, turning over as those bulls go on with riders, how ranked they are, really.
It's pretty cool. Tell us a little bit about the Breeders' Connection and how you got that started.
You know, I started that. I've been doing that 16 years now. And what that is just the Breeders' Connection is online auctions, you know, for rodeo stock. You know, I started it 2003, the Breeders' Connection. I was just kind of building, is, you know, there was no social media back then, so to speak. And, you know, I started building websites for some bucking bull friends of mine, and that, you know, spread over to where I was building these websites for, you know, just about a ton of bucking bull guys in the industry back in those early days. And this was back when the ABBI, American Bucking Bull Incorporated, it actually used to be called Buckers Inc., with Bob Tallman and them, and they had the Rodeo Stock Registry. And about that year in 2003, the PBR bought Buckers Inc. and the Rodeo Stock Registry from the Buckers Group and actually turned it into the ABBI. And at that time, you know, there was a website, that Buckers deal, and there was a message board on there. And I know young guys like Gus probably don't even remember what a message board is.
Well, come on now.
it was before Twitter and Instagram and everything like that. And I mean, that a message board was the Facebook of its day. And when Buckers sold to the ABBI, that message board kind of discontinued. So we started one on the Breeders' Connection. And that's when it really took off on this message board, was, you know, all the, you know, people in the rodeo industry just getting together and, you know, just socializing on this message board. And that was really the heartbeat that allowed me to take off with the Breeders' Connection. And all these guys, you know, on their websites and on this message board was, you know, trading and selling and their bucking bulls and their rodeo cows and everything. And I was like, man, there's got to be a way to tap into that. And so I thought up of a way to, you know, start posting them on a weekly online auction and selling them that way. And it really just kind of took off like a wildfire, and been doing that every week for 16 years.
That's fantastic. And there's quite the story of why you're dealing bucking stock instead of riding bucking stock, and we're going to get into that after a bit.
For sure.
We're going to talk about some of your other ventures, the NFR bucking sale. But I want to get Gus, you know, Gus, ever since he showed up at the T2, like, sometimes it almost gets old. He's like, Nate this, Nate so awesome that. I used to live with Nate. Like, Nate and his dad are like my heroes. It's always how awesome Nate Morrison is. And Gus, I want you to take over. You know, give us a little background with you and Nate.
Yeah, so, you know, this is my fourth year fighting bulls, and I started fighting bulls living out west in Belle Fouche, the St. Ange area. And my second year into it, my business partner Brent was living with me, and I went to a high school rodeo. I was fighting bulls for Byron Juma, and that was in Crawford and Harrison, Nebraska. It was a three-day high school rodeo in two different towns, and the first 2 days in Harrison went really well. I was fighting with Zane Lewis, and things were rolling smooth. And day number three in Crawford, I got the first bull out, I got stepped on, and the bull, I mean, squished me, broke my fibula, a clean breakthrough, and I was working for a rancher at the time, and I was he had put me up in a house, and basically when I got home, I went out to his place that night, and I told him, you know, I broke my fibula, and I'm gonna be down, gonna be a little bit slow for 6 weeks, and he the next day he fired me, and so me and Brent, being the ambitious entrepreneurs that we are, we put our heads together and started thinking, and unfortunately at that time we weren't really able to stay together. Brent went to work for the BFO, and I was kind of scratching my head, but I knew God was gonna have a good plan for me, and after many prayers and many days of waiting, Nate reached out to me, and he hired me to work the Hart Ranch series in Rapid City that summer, and him and I get a little choked up when I think about it, but
I wonder if Nate's crying right now too. Like, you guys all right? Everybody doing okay?
It's good.
I only cried when he asked.
Tears of joy, yeah. Or which was it?
For sure. It's funny. God is works in awesome ways, but Nate reached out to me, and him and Dave put me up for the summer and actually through the fall, and gave me a place to eat and sleep and find my drive again. And since then, Nate took me everywhere. Nate let me see the rodeo world and introduced me to more people. Nate, I swear to God, Nate, you go anywhere with Nate Morrison and everybody knows Nate, and it's extremely cool to watch. It's so much fun. But Nate took me to Cheyenne Frontier Days. Nate took me everywhere. He took me out to Vegas that year, and he opened my eyes to the world of rodeo, and I've been in love with it ever since.
I think he opened your eyes to a positive attitude and, you know, a lot of
for
stuff
sure.
like that as well.
For sure.
Well, you know what? I told Gus he could be my intern for a summer.
Nice.
And an intern, you don't have to pay him a dime.
Oh, interesting concept.
I told him the same thing. I told him from the beginning.
You know, we won't be able to pay you. We'll give you a bed and a place to eat. You can help us out, and I'll pay you back with experience and connections.
And that you did.
I really hope he got that. Was able to take advantage of and learn from the experience of Dave Morrison's School of Rodeo. Because I kind of have a philosophy that if you're a bullfighter and you know how to load a trailer, sort stock, hang flanks, and do whatever a contractor needs, you'll never have to worry about not getting jobs.
Tried and true. That's
little,
proven.
Little that work. Yep. All right. Well, we got to get into this story. So, your brother Nick, I rode bulls and traveled with your brother Nick some. And Nate was a. Did you just ride Celebron?
I rode bulls till I was about a sophomore. I rode junior bulls and kind of was too scared of them. Got fapped off with my first bronc and hung up the bull rope.
Smart.
So
smart
yeah,
guy.
I rode saddle broncs, you know, was really just getting into it. I got on my first bronc when I was 14 and didn't really start clicking till I was about 17. And then I was 18 and got my permit and was, you know, ready to hit the road. Had some good traveling buddies and all we wanted to do was go rodeo, you know, and is actually... ended up breaking my leg in the practice pen. I think it was about March. And, you know, just kind of healing up on that. And Jesse Bale and I actually was entered in some pro rodeos in Minnesota in May. First weekend, actually, believe it or not, this last weekend in May. Mm. They had what they called the Triple Crown rodeos, you know, of high school rodeos. And so we were entered up there the weekend before just to kind of, and I thought, well, it'd be a good time to test out my leg, You know, took the cast off my leg like any wise rodeo person would do.
You ain't no cowboy week, if you don't take off your
week,
cast.
Of course. Week, a week or two too early.
Sure, of course.
And you know, got on this kind of a colt acting horse, and, you know, he bucked, stood me up in the saddle, went to buck me off, and I didn't want to land on that leg, so I tucked up a little bit, and one thing led to another and ended up, nose diving into the ground and broke my neck, and broke the C6th and C7th vertebrae, which left me paralyzed from the chest down.
And hopefully by now our listeners have had a chance to check out your Facebook page, and they will see that, yes, Nate is confined to a wheelchair.
And, yep.
Your attitude is great through it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know if you guys mentioned this or at all before, but my dad Dave is a pastor, a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nick and I really grew up with that strong influence of faith in God and, you know, having that personal relationship with Jesus and all that. And from that, just growing up with, you know, a guy like Dave as my dad, and just being in the Word since I was a kid, I was able from that very moment to put my trust in faith in God in the situation.
That's awesome.
And I can honestly say if I didn't have that, I don't know. I mean, it'd be a totally different Nate story for me.
I shudder, and I'm scared to even think about where you'd have been.
Well,
and so having that faith, you know, and I truly believe that God, you know, is you know, a God of miracles and healing, and my story's not done yet. I mean, we're just setting it up for. I still strongly believe I'm going to get up and get out of this thing one of these days.
Awesome.
And so in the meantime, from that day on, you know, I just, my faith was, well, what would you do if you were healed? You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you live your life. You go on and do as much as you can. And, you know, I've always kind of heard one thing was said to me one time, and it really stuck with me. You can let what happens to you define who you are, or you let how you overcome them be your defining moments.
Wow.
And so, you know, I just go on every day, just still living my dream. You know, as an 18-year-old kid, you know, all I could dream about was riding broncs and riding at the NFR. And, you know, I remember, I think the hardest year for me was 2003 when I was 23 years old at that NFR. That was my goal I had set for me, and I'd make the NFR by the time I was 23. And all my traveling buddies and guys I rodeoed with, that was the year that they were all at the NFR.
Hmm.
And, you know, it that was probably one of the hardest years for me. But then that was also the same year that the Breeders' Connection really took off with me. And now I'm involved in rodeo and doing things with rodeo, and I'm at a level that I never would have dreamed I would have been at.
Basically a household name, and you combine your faith on top of the never give up, keep trying cowboy attitude that you were raised with, and anything is possible.
You know, with God, all things are possible.
Dang,
and
right.
And I know for a fact I wouldn't be like you said, it's scary to think where I'd be, because I don't know how anybody could handle anything without God in situations.
Thank God we don't have to worry about that. Hey Nate, we're gonna keep you on the line. We gotta play a song real quick, and if you don't mind hanging on, we're going to continue this chat. Everybody, check out Nate Morrison on Facebook if you haven't seen him yet. And we'll be right back after this.
been a cowboy most of my life. I punched a lot of cattle, got in a few fights, and I've been around a town more too. Made a little money, I spent a little too. I've been a cowboy, got a lot of good friends, wrangled up some rough ones, mended some fences. Living a cowboy, it's all I ever
Rodeo Rock Radio, we're back. That was I've Been a Cowboy by Breaking Eight. We still got Mr. Nate Morrison from the Breeders' Connection online. Nate, you still with us?
You bet. Yes, sir.
Right on, right on. So we'll get to plug some of your stuff, like the NFR Buccaneer Sale. Gus, you wanted to touch on a little something?
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know, to follow up with what Nate was saying about just how Christ moved him and kept pushing him through what would have ended most people's drive and motivation, you know. Instead, it motivated Nate, and after 4 weeks of having a broken leg, I moved out with Nate and Dave, and went to church that Sunday. Nate and Dave actually live stream a church service from right there on the ranch, and if you guys are looking for an awesome cowboy church service, check them out on Facebook every Sunday
morning at 10:30 a.m. on my Facebook page. We go live.
Nice,
for sure. It's awesome, and to be able to sit in the pew there and listen to Dave, it wasn't 2-3 days after that Sunday with a broken fibula, obviously, in a walking boot, I was down there in their arena working out, stepping around a barrel, trying to get in shape for Nate's rodeos. I had 7 perfs, about 10 left in the summer, and still on a broken leg, and I felt God move through me, said I can push past it, and I can keep cowboys safe, but it's going to take some work, and I just it was amazing. It was an amazing summer being on the ranch and being with Nate and Dave, and that was really the summer that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior and had a life changing experience right there.
You know, and that to me, that's what it's all about. You know, what I do, you know, with the Breeders' Connection, being the sale manager for the Benny Binion NFR sale, doing our Wild West Wednesday rodeos, the whole reason we do that, the whole reason me and my dad have our bucking horses is, I mean, that's just a tool for guys like us and everything to use that as our ministry to get people, you know, to know God and hopefully experience them on a personal level. And so to hear that from you, Gus, it makes me feel like that, to me, that's the greatest accomplishment I could ever have.
So we've heard how you've inspired Mr. Gus Kronberg. Now, tell me, take us back to being a 23-year-old who is so frustrated. You were a extreme athlete. You lived your life being a cowboy. And now, you know, we live in a world, and I see young people today that think they got it so rough. You know, there's just a lot of people that seem to be complaining for no reason. What can you tell people after what you've been through, going from not being able to live one dream and having to redirect under this, you know, this extreme hardship? I mean, I just can't imagine after what we do. You know, it's just so hard to... I'm so impressed with your mental fortitude to press through this and to be inspiring people still.
Well, you know, that's pretty easy to answer. You know, life is short. Life is fragile. All you have is today. And, you know, you just gotta live life in the moment and not look at what you can't do. But, you know, enjoy everything that you can do. And, you know, one thing that I'm still able to do is I have the opportunity through what I've been able to do. I get hired a lot to judge bull ridings in events all over the country. And I still get that feeling of traveling all over the countryside rodeoing, you know, because it's something I can do.
And you're a household name.
Selling rodeo stock, it's something I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't focus on what you can't do. You know, focus on what you can and be the best that you can at it. And really, that's all I can attribute it to.
Huh. It's as simple as that. You know, sometimes you might think it's going to be difficult, but it comes down to just working hard.
That's right. Hard work will get you through anything.
Nate Morrison, what do we...
Go ahead. Stay focused, you know, just have goals, have dreams, and don't give up till your head hits the ground three times.
Dang right, it ain't going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. No, nothing never. Worth doing is easy. And, man, what a testament. Your testament, Nate. Yeah, I'm inspired. And I hope everybody listening is.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you guys.
So what are we missing? We got the Breeders' Connection online.
I got the Breeders' Connection, www.thebreedersconnection.com. If you're looking for bucking stock, I got sales every week on there.
Cool.
You know, and I sell stock for, you know, all over Canada to Florida, you know, on there. And then I got the 2014, I was hired on to be the sale manager for the NFR Bucking Horse and Bull Sale in Las Vegas, where I get a, you know, basically travel around, scout bucking stock to sell that, you know, we feel could make it back to the NFR. So that's been a huge blessing.
Sounds like a rough job. Yeah. Sounds tough.
Yeah. and then I guess through the summers, you know, my dad and I got bucking horses and, we produce a weekly rodeo series in the Black Hills at the Hart Ranch Arena. We call it Wild West Wednesdays every Wednesday night, July and August. Just a fun midweek rodeo. It's just back to having fun with rodeo at those deals. Gus has been our bullfighter at it for the last couple years, and everything's looking like we're going to be doing it again this summer.
I sure hope you do. So we got a proposition. What's that?
You will see it in the vlog coming this summer. Oh. So stay tuned for that. It's for a Wednesday night rodeo at a campground. It is next to professional level. It is outstanding.
It's a cool spot. So Nate, we by the end of the week, I don't even know if I told you, but I'm sure you heard that we're raising bucking bulls here on the T2.
Yeah, I caught that. I caught you bought you some bucking chutes and building an arena.
By the end of this week, we're going to have an arena built. Hopefully, if Chet from CKC Oil Field Services shows up to help us build it. Chet, if you're listening, get over here.
Get on it.
But we had an idea. I don't know if you mentioned this, but we're like, Gus one day is like, man, when we get this up, we could just get Nate up here. Again, one of the days where he's just like, Nate this, Nate that.
I brag on you a lot, Nate.
Yeah, a lot. Like, we shouldn't, shouldn't even be telling you that. You're probably going to get a big head. But he says, hey, we could do a video futurity right here. We're going to have an arena.
Heck,
you know, we got our videographer. We got everything in place. All we need is Nate Morrison to come out to the ranch and get it organized. When are you going to come?
Well, I'll put it, my schedule's been pretty open, honestly, for the last month or so. So we might have to discuss this. It sounds like something that could really fly.
Well, we got an extra bedroom. We're going to have bucking chutes. We're going to be bucking stock.
Around the clock.
Well, maybe not around the clock. We also got a farm. We got to make hay. We got to take care of the beef cows. So it ain't going to be around the clock. We'll let Brisby do the around the clock thing. He can have that. Fair enough. Do it when we can. We got other stuff we got to do. But you have an invitation. We'd love for you to come on up and see what we can do.
All right.
Hey.
Well, it's great visiting with you guys.
Thanks so much for joining us on Rodeo Rock Radio, Nate. We'll be in touch. And good luck. Thank you for the inspiration. Keep the faith, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you.
Wish me luck, this rabbit foot hanging up ain't gonna cut it. Yeah. Life's a trip, just don't slip. Put your foot down and step on it. We're driving by the moon, picking on a fender. Got it tuned up, getting something to remember. We're living life, living right. If you wanna ride with me, better hold on tight. The forecast is calling for wild rides. The forecast is calling for the wild ride. Chest out, cause there's no doubt it's on to the big show. Life's a trip, just don't slip. Put your foot down and step on it. We're driving by the moon, picking on a fender. Got it tuned up, getting something to remember. We're living life, living right. If you wanna ride with me, you better hold on tight. The forecast is calling for wild rides. The forecast is calling for the wild ride. We'll be right back.
from the TV show Wild Rides on the Cowboy Channel. You'll also hear that on Special Cowboy Moments on RFD TV. That is Breaking 8 and Wild Rides on our new album coming out very soon, May 15th, depending on when you listen to this.
Coming fast.
You'll also hear that ride, or that song.
That ride. You stuck on Buster again?
Guys, come on. I barely lived through a bronc ride today, and I'm trying to run a computer program now, and my legs hurt.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I think I pulled my hamstring. You will hear Wild Rides also on some of Gus's work on TG Rant.
A lot of it, yeah.
Use that song a lot.
If you keep riding broncs like that every episode, you can almost guarantee it.
Whatever works to get my music played. I appreciate you playing that, by the way, Gus.
Absolutely.
All right, this is our time is flying by, man. Nate Morrison, that was awesome. Awesome to have him. Hopefully everybody checks out his stuff. And so we got to get to the top eight. Anything before we get to the top eight?
I'm just excited to get to this part of it.
Let's get into it. Without further ado, I have a lot to learn.
The Breaking Eight top eight today is things you shouldn't do at a branding.
Ooh, that's a lot of
branding seasons.
It's here.
I mean, it's upon us. We got two this week.
Two this week.
A couple of us are headed to.
Two in 3 days. I mean, that's a lot of branding.
Hot and heavy.
Okay, so let's preface a little bit here. So when these rules are going to apply to rope and drag branding.
Rope and drag branding.
There's some etiquette. There's things you do and don't do. In my opinion and, you know, kind of the way things are set up, the rope and drag is the most efficient, I think.
Well,
you know, there's lots of ways to brand. You can flop.
There's a million ways to skin a cat.
Yep. I mean,
there's three ways to skin a cat. So,
and there's four or five ways to brand, actually. Okay. Not a million, but you're close.
For those of you that don't rope and drag or have never gone to a rope and drag branding, I'm from East River, North Dakota. That means calf tables. That means long, hot days of pushing calves up the alley into a chute.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it.
If that works for your operation, great.
For sure. So as Benny and Justin talk about this, and you're not quite understanding, I'm right there with you. So as we go through this, I'll ask the questions that you want to know.
So as of this broadcast, Gus has never been to a rope and drag branding.
Not yet.
But I just want this to be clear. Before I moved to North Dakota, I come from a non-branding state.
From Minnesota.
Minnesota. Way over east area.
Let's talk about it, you hoser.
Did you get to Turdy Pointer?
You mixed in some Canadian there.
Canada, Minnesota.
Hockey, geese, same. Great Lakes, all the same.
All right then, eh?
Have a brew after practice, eh?
Let's get into it. So do we need to talk about the technique or can we? We'll get to the technique as we're going through the rules.
We'll just get right into it. So not in any specific order. These are just the top eight things you shouldn't do at a branding. And to start it off, we're going to be don't abuse the stock.
Number one. And, you know, I think that's a good place for number one.
Because it ties into rule number five.
Safety first.
That's safety first. I mean, and not safety just for humans. Safety for all livestock.
Yeah, I mean, the livestock. That's our well-being. We want them to be comfortable, and that's one of the reasons to rope and drag because it is very low stress on the animal when it's done right. And we're gonna you'll learn more of that as we get through the rules. But some of the examples of that is the technique to hold the calf down. You know, I've seen guys that. You know, they got to be manly and tough, and they'll just crank back on the calf's leg to hold them down.
Oh,
and you don't have to do that. You just hold them down, keep them.
See, and that's good to know, because being this, you know, 6'8", big, burly, and handsome.
Big and dumb. Sorry.
What?
What?
No.
Who?
You cannot.
If I see
what are we
you,
talking about?
If I see you with your knee on one of my calves' necks, putting all your weight on that, I will form tackle you right off.
Fair.
I will. I don't know if you'll move when I hit you, but I will get up and say, Gus, please don't put all your weight on that
calf.
I'm
going to give it a shot.
go from very harsh to very polite very quick.
Yeah. So hold the calf, you know, hold the calf. Roll the calf over, flip the calf in a way that's not going to tear tendons in their legs.
Right.
You don't have to be kicking them. You know, there's the best way to do things usually with livestock is slow and easy.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, when you try to muscle them and go fast, you cause more stress. Okay.
And this is, you know, calves are the means of ranchers making money.
And they're babies. Yeah. They're babies. They're just little, you know.
They're babies. I mean, they're cute. You got to remember that.
Yeah. Why do you? Sure. We don't have to beat them up. Nature is brutal. We're not. We got to be nice to them.
Exactly. So that brings us into number two. Don't assume you're going to rope at every branding you go to.
No, definitely. So this could be an age thing. You know, you can, I guess the only time you could assume that you're going to rope is if you're Rex Cook or you're over the age of 60.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to a branding at the age of 92 and you've been cowboying for over 60 years, yeah, you have the right to rope at every branding you go to. But, being me at the age of 24, show up and work your butt off, and then maybe you'll get wrestling. There, cowboy.
What, so what happens if you have this awesome, good horse that you've been working on for many, many months that you can... head, heel, bulldog, chase any kind of wild critter through the pasture at 9-0. I mean, if you got a horse that good, shouldn't you be able to rope?
You definitely should not. I mean, the number one thing when you're – now we're assuming that we're at somebody else's branding.
Yes, sir.
We're going there to help them. The number one thing is to get the calves – to get the cattle worked. And now another thing we should mention is – we call it a branding, but it's not really a branding. The number one thing is to immunize these calves from disease. Yeah. The number one thing is giving them their shots. The branding is an identification thing, but the number one thing in my book is to give them their shots.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So that's what we're there to do. That's why we're helping other people, and they're coming to help us so we can get these calves safely vaccinated.
And it comes down to the dues paid deal. I mean, you know, me and Gus being young individuals, you know, we have the means of taking on a lot of physical activity throughout the entire day with, older gentlemen or women that come to these brandings. You know, they
Benny's age.
Young.
I didn't say that. But, I mean, they've put in the long hours and the many brandings and the thousands of head that they've gone through to, you know, to be able to rope young folks like me and you need to.
So to answer your question, you might not get to rope on that horse.
That's
if
fair.
You're needed on the ground to get the job done, you're going to stay there.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the horse. It's all about the individual that shows up.
I know this probably isn't on one of the rules. Say you bring a horse and they tell you to get bent, you ain't roping.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not going to say that because we're cowboys and we're cultured.
Right, oh, yeah. Right.
We're polite.
Polite.
Yeah, most of the time.
To understand.
Say you bring a horse and you trailered him, I don't know, couple miles, can you expect to get paid? Is that kind of just...
Oh, yeah, you'll get paid in a wonderful meal.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Maybe a cold beverage of some sort, either adult or non-adult, whichever your preference is.
And good company.
I mean, it's fun, man. It's a social events of the year. I can't wait to get to branding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't go for the money. I go for the experience.
Yeah, I wouldn't take money. Keeping on your question, most likely, or let's say you're needed on the ground, but there's some guys roping that are older, and you can see their horses getting tired, you can approach them and say, hey, I got a doozy of a horse here. Needs some time trying to sell him. Maybe would you mind roping some on him? And then that might be a better way because he's going to say, wow, that's a great horse. He's going to rope off him.
Yeah, for sure. He might potentially buy him.
Might earn you some brownie points on that old timer.
Yeah, he's going to put the word out, and he's going to be, wow, this is a respectful guy. He stayed on the ground even though he's got this horse. He's trying to either sell or
work. Can break a pretty good horse.
See, and I've been on the opposite end of that spectrum where an older gentleman who, had his fun in the roping pen had another horse for me to rope off of.
Mm-hmm.
And where I ended up going in, and he actually sold that horse by me roping off of it.
Interesting.
So, but I'm humble.
Okay,
sure.
It was all the horse, I'm just saying.
Oh, right, yeah.
What do we got next?
So it brings us to number three. Don't rope at your own branding.
Why is that? What the heck? It's your branding. Why can't you?
Well, it's kind of just one of the etiquette rules, and I know the applicable reasons. Is there any reason?
So... In my own opinion, I think it's just disrespectful to the other people because you're asking them to come and, join in on your festivities when, you're supposed to be looking over your own cattle and making sure everything else is going right,
And that's why I wouldn't. That's why I won't rope in my own branding because I want to be overseeing that everybody's comfortable, that everybody's doing their job. You know, I'm usually filling vaccine guns. I might not even be doing a job at our branding. Sure. I might just be making sure that vaccine's getting mixed properly. the vaccine's getting administered properly, that the brander isn't having any questions, that somebody on a horse doesn't need something. I mean,
yeah, that the brand's going on the right side. I mean, all the other things. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
You're the office manager.
I want to be there because this is my livelihood. I want to make sure that everything is happening good, and I want to make sure that the help is having fun. They're enjoyable. They're not working too hard. They got everything they need. They're not stressed out. You know,
it's supposed to be an enjoyable experience. I mean, that's why, you know, the community of all your neighbors or your friends and your family and stuff come together is to have fun and doing the thing that we all enjoy. And
super fun. It is a great social gathering, and that's the way we. But you got to get the work done in a good manner as well.
For sure. And so that brings us into number four. You shouldn't be unprepared.
And so, okay, so that... You know, I used to get so stressed out at branding because there's so much to do. When it's your branding, you got to have a lot of things in place for it to go smoothly. Everything's got to be organized. And if you're not prepared, it's really stressful, and it might cause things to take longer, or it's bad. So be prepared. And a good way to be prepared, you know, the vaccines, you got to have vaccines on hand. You got to have a place to store them. You got to be getting them mixed. And little plug, recently got my first Cross 5 cooler.
Cross 5,
what is that?
It's the coolest looking little deal.
I've seen you got an absolute stockpile of coolers in the mudroom.
We got a lot of coolers, but only one is
only
a Cross 5.
Only one Cross 5. Okay. And you don't touch that thing. It's Benny's pride and joy.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be putting six packs of soda in there.
Yeah, I've seen them on Facebook. They look pretty handy.
Developed. I think my buddy Ryan Castile developed them. I'm not sure. He's a former bull rider, which is surprising.
Made in the Midwest?
So cool. South Dakota,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rapids. Sturgis Ryan's from. Okay. Our buddy Aaron Boerboom is a rep. You cool them down. You keep your vaccine in there. But there's holes in the top. You can put the vaccine gun in.
Yeah, your gun.
To keep the vaccine, even in the gun, cool. It keeps the gun safe, because otherwise, if you're setting a gun down, it's laying on the ground or somewhere not safe.
Yeah, getting bacteria.
No
good.
Get dirty, might get broke.
Nice.
Genius concept. Got to have a Cross 5 if you don't have one yet.
I remember 2 years ago when I came to your branding, when I was like the only guy to help you gather and stuff in the morning, get everything sorted. You stressed me out, and I wasn't even like on the ranch.
Can I share a quick story from East River?
No. Yes.
So we have this neighbor. I grew up in a small town, a tiny community of 70 in Forbes, North Dakota. And we have this neighbor about 5 miles to the west. And we would gather in the morning. And when it come time to sort, he had two big pens. He sorted in the middle. Cows go north. Calves go south. And we sorted on foot. Like I said, this is East River branding. Calf tables, two of them. This guy would get so mad and so red in the face, just PO'd. Basically, if you weren't over the age of 30, you didn't help sort. It's interesting to hear about all these stories and the different ways of branding. Because I assume at places like this, at events like this out here, you don't really see tempers like that.
Doesn't sound fun.
No,
it's miserable. Yeah. It was miserable.
I love sorting cows.
Yeah, most people out here are just, you know, thankful that you're willing to help.
Yeah. And one thing about that, though, us three will probably do all the gathering, all the sorting.
Sure.
Yeah. Just because sometimes less is more when it comes to that.
Yeah. Well, that's for
sure. You know the cattle, you know the calves, you know what does what.
The cattle are calmer.
And we know what to expect from each other, too. You know, when you get the neighbor coming in thinking he's the most cowboy and sucker, you never walk the plains.
Kind of throws a wrench in the system.
Well, that being said, I mean, it's nice to have Mitch Ertl in the sorting pen. He'll do anything. He'll tackle a cow for you if you need to be saved.
That guy is handy.
We got some good neighbors, and I mean... Cowboys, we got some great neighbors, and cowboys are great help. I'm not diminishing the fact that they're good help. There's just only so many people. Guys like Mitch, if he's here, he doesn't want to stand around.
Oh no, that guy wants to be working.
He's doing something. If he's not sorting cattle or doing something, he's like going to go overhaul the tractor. He's got to do something.
He feels awkward when he's not moving around. I mean, he's like me when I'm shooing horses. Like, just give me something to do.
Yeah, I'm going to carry this 500 pound panel across the pen and bring it back. Maybe, I don't know.
A couple times, whatever you need.
Maybe check on your baby. So that brings us into number five. And like people, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but don't be ignorant. If you have a question, ask it.
Well, and that's going to be me. And it's frustrating. It's not frustrating, but to, you know, I grew up riding horses with my dad. My dad broke horses for many, many, many years, and I grew up riding horses. And so to never have been to a rope and drag branding, I almost feel embarrassed.
It's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird.
It's pretty weird.
But I'm still going to be the first guy to ask questions because I don't want to do something wrong.
Yeah.
I want to perform and get the job done well, and that's exactly it. You know, if I have a question, I'm dang sure going to ask.
And you don't have to ask. You can sometimes just watch because every operation is different. Every producer, every boss has a, you know, some different techniques. But typically, you can kind of watch things progress. And if you don't know, then you just say, "Hey, what do you want me to do? How are we doing this?" So. Yeah, that's a good one, but it's all going to be different.
Well, it's just different how you learn. You know, you might be scared to go ask the person that owns the operation how he wants things done. You know, you might be new, just overall intimidated. So, yeah, if you just watch kind of what's going on and figure it out, you know, nobody's going to be mad at you.
And,
but
that's what I said. Just
on the same
out.
Token, you might gain a little respect by doing so because mm-hmm. if he sees you as a pilgrim, a greenhorn in the you know, to doing this sort of thing. I guarantee you he would be more comfortable with telling you the right way to do it as opposed to watching you do it the wrong way, you know?
For sure. And like me coming from Minnesota, I never went to a branding day in my life. And I came out here and, I mean, I was being the confident guy I am now. That wasn't always the case. You know, I wouldn't go up to the boss man and just say, "Hey, how do you want it done?" I'd kind of ask around for the people that I felt comfortable talking to. And those most of the time, those people are willing to talk to you and help you through it just as much as the boss would.
Should work too.
So that brings us into number 6. Don't ride an unseasoned horse.
Justin.
Hey, I have good ideas, and that's where this mock branding came into play.
Let's get some reasons before we talk about your great ideas.
I have great
ideas.
You know,
if you don't know what a rope and drag, I don't know about all the time.
Hey.
If you're having trouble envisioning the rope and drag branding, you know, it's a fairly small area. There's, you know, between 2 and maybe 6 guys on horse in a pen of cattle roping. And once you drag the calf out of the branding pen, there is wrestlers on the ground, sitting and laying on the ground, you know, holding these calves down to get the work done. So you're sometimes walking your horse within feet of people on the ground.
Oh,
exposed
yeah.
limbs.
It's a dangerous situation. I mean, it could go from, you know, 0 to 100 real fast.
Yeah, there's lots of activities happening, lots of scary things.
Loud noises, weird noises, calves bellering, cows bellering.
People jumping. So if your horse isn't used to that stuff, he's probably going to do what Gus did to me today and make a horse jump right in the middle of me and almost break my foot.
Well, he's 14, Benny. Like, he should have stood. Like, that's we need to go back to the drawing board on him.
Whose fault is it, really?
Yeah. You know?
Blame it on Buster.
I don't know
Buster.
Yeah. Like,
Buster will not be in the branding pen.
Right.
Ever. Probably. Maybe ours.
I branded on him last year.
In
at
our
your
branding. Yeah.
So.
That's a different deal.
Again, well,
he
I
was
mean,
not good.
We're going to do it next year again, but the mock branding that Justin
if you didn't catch last week's show, tell us about this mock branding.
So it was basically just recreating the noise and the structure of what a branding would be without the danger of actually hurting people.
Just to get for the sole purpose of getting the horses ready
so
they didn't hurt someone.
Season your young horses or even your older horses that are a little scared of, you know, a tarp flapping in the wind or a calf kind of coming mock chicken at you. Or
desensitizing at its finest. Lots of people. We cranked up the tunes, drug tires. It was an awesome idea.
Yeah, it was a good time.
And it went well. It was very successful.
It went good prior to that and a couple other things if you also missed last week's. It was also the reason why rule number 5 got expedited up from rule number 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Safety first rule number 9. But prior to that, because of some other incidents and foreseeing that maybe the mock banding was going to be a bit of a potential disaster.
Oh yeah, it was set up to fail, but it succeeded with flying colors.
Yeah, yeah, but it still, did. Rule number 9 safety first, went to rule number
five.
We
have our accident plans in place.
I think it's been a good plan for the as a whole. I think it's really brought safety protocol to a new level on the ranch.
And it's going to be bigger than ever next year, I think, because, I mean, after some of the horses that we went through the mock branding with, people are going to see, you know, how seasoned they are. So,
it's a pretty intense situation.
So, but branding is a time of, you know, great company, great stories, and, you know, great food. So that brings us to number seven with don't forget to thank the cook.
For sure.
I was reading on the internet earlier, the interweb. I was looking up cowboy history just because I'm so intrigued about it all the time, and I love learning about the cowboy way of life. But in almost every article that I read, number one rule was to thank, and back in the day they called him the cookie, but thank the cook. After a long, hard day of working, riding, cowboying, and you're able to sit down and eat a hot meal, that's the person you thank.
Oh, for sure, because there's a lot of people at these brandings, especially here in Western North Dakota. You could have anywhere between, you know, 10 to possibly 80-some people, and you got to premeditate for how many people you're going to feed, and it's always good food.
It's a big
good
deal.
German
it's a big
food.
Deal. It's almost a competition sometimes between brandings to see who's better.
Oh, I believe that.
It's a competition that I embrace and I love because we win, ultimately.
Oh, yeah. The guys that show up.
Who's doing the cooking on the T2?
Well, my wife, Michelle.
I
was going to say, I ain't doing it.
No, definitely you guys ain't doing it. I mean, you make some mean brisket on the Traeger, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Gus makes some mean brisket.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Justin doesn't do anything. He makes eggs in the
Justin
morning.
Justin cooks,
it'll
be eggs. That's
eggs,
what
and bacon.
Yeah.
And
eggs
and bacon. I thank God every morning that eggs and bacon are on the table when I wake up. It is it's awesome.
Yeah, if you guys are ever in Western North Dakota in the morning, just hit me up.
Cool. That brings us on to number eight.
So number eight, the last one is don't drag an inappropriately roped calf.
What does that mean? What does it mean to be inappropriately roped?
Inappropriately roped kind of comes back to being ignorant. You know, you got to know what the owner expects of you. But for the most part, drag your calves out double hocked and below the knee.
And if you don't?
Face the consequences.
Well,
way to lose your seat, huh?
It's a rule number five issue because if you got a bigger calf by 1 foot, that calf can run everywhere. He's still got three legs to run everywhere. If you get him out of the branding pen, he might take off, and you might take off the heads of a couple branders, run over some calves, cause a horse to get tangled up in a rope. I mean,
I've actually seen it where they've knocked over the fire.
Oh wow!
It's potential feet of fire hazard.
Sure,
I mean, it's happening.
We're in a burn ban.
Learn that today.
Thank God we didn't learn it the hard way.
But
so 1 foot is a no-no.
Well, I mean, it is. It's potential.
What happens if you get him like around the neck or the belly?
Ooh,
like,
is
he just gonna get sent back to the trailer or what?
No, it happens. Hey, sometimes
I've done
accidents.
It.
Either you get off your horse and go remove it from the calf, or typically. A Mitch or some guy that's just waiting for some action is going to run into the group and take the rope off for you.
Or you get Gebhardt.
Yeah, you get Gebhardt. He always got some macho dudes just looking for ways to show off to some.
Hey, look what I can do.
But I'm humble.
There's usually somebody that'll help you out. If not, you get off and fix it yourself. Sometimes there'll be a group of wrestlers, a Gate and a Mitch, that are big and tough. They'll say, bring them out. We got them.
Yep.
And if you feel comfortable, they'll usually throw the calf to the ground before you leave the pen.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It'll still be a safe thing. It'll be guys that know what they're doing. So there is times it can be done.
Yeah, as long as communication's involved and your other ropers know, like, hey, there's a rogue calf kind of running all over the place, like, mm-hmm. it can be handled pretty well. Or, like, same thing with the single leg, as long as people know what's going on before it actually happens.
And
some other reasons, though, it can hurt the calf, too. If they're one leg, they can strain hard enough where they can pull tendons and cause a limp. If they're roped above the knee, is that the hocks above the knee? It can hurt the calf sometimes because then you're dragging them and their foot's digging into the ground. You know, a lot of these rules are safety for the animal.
Well, and it comes back to abusing the stock. You know, you're not intentionally trying to do it, but out of you sometimes being ignorant, you just it just happens.
And another reason for that is it's a stressful situation anyways for the cattle.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the cattle are stressed, they get sick easier. The vaccines and the immunizations aren't as effective.
Yep.
So you want this. Everything you can do, you want it to be as low stress as possible.
Yep.
You want to rope them out of the group really quietly by 2 feet. drag them out real quietly. When they're when you rope them by 2 feet, they don't even fight.
Yeah,
they just kind of like, well, I'm dragging.
We're going backwards.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's happening.
I feel like maybe a silent rule number 9 to this top 8 is communication. You know,
I like it.
You know.
How come that we can't have it? We can't have a rule number 9.
No,
I mean,
and
this
that's
is the
why
top
it's
8.
Silent. That's why it's silent.
Okay, does that work?
It's a silent rule number 9.
Silent 9.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is the things you shouldn't do. This is one thing you should do.
Communicate.
Oh, okay.
Oh, see, that's
boom.
Fair.
Whole nother
touche.
It's an amendment.
We're safe. We didn't break amendment. The rules.
Exactly.
The top 8.
Right. But no, yeah, talking to each other and making sure everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. And that's the nice thing about ranchers out here. As long as you communicate on what's going on and what you're doing and why you're doing it, it's usually pretty okay.
And that is the top 8, everybody. If you have any ideas that we need to know about for the rules of what not to do at a branding, or if you have any advice for us on what you want to hear from the top 8, shoot us a message.
We want to hear about it.
We want to comment about it. Facebook or, shoot us a private message between me, Benny, or Gus, you know.
Yeah.
We're all willing to listen.
Right there on the TT Ranch Life Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you send us a message, if you drop us a comment, we will reply. We want to know.
Stay hooked with us. Stay in touch. It's going to be fun. We are saddled up and riding, and thank you so much for joining us on Rodeo Rock Radio. Gentlemen, our time here has come to an end.
Ooh,
it's a pleasure.
It is sad. This is fun.
This is really fun.
It's
a lot of fun.
What do we got coming up this week? We got brandings.
We're bucking bulls on Thursday.
Yeah, bucking bulls on Thursday.
Oh, right. Yeah, we are. Our first buck out of the year in an outdoor arena.
Yes, sir.
That's exciting.
I went to one this past weekend, and it was a bull riding school at that at Bothwell's, and subsequently enough, I learned to fight bulls in front of the chutes that you just bought. So it was kind of a cool experience. But, we're bucking bulls. Springtime is here. Rodeo season is upon us.
We'll be bucking bulls and fighting cows on the T2 shortly. Stay tuned for that. All right, guys. Rule number 5, let's stay safe out there. And join us next week. Help us figure out a top 8. Until then, everybody be safe and be cool.
Sunset's far away. Can't you hang on for a minute? In our cowboy, won't you stay? John Wayne, all the good ones are gone. John Wayne, you should have talked them all about shooting straight and riding hard and walking tall. John Wayne, they don't know anything at all. Whoa. Look out, cowhand, I think she's coming for you. She talking about white dresses, something borrowed, something blue. But you've never been committed to nothing other than this place. So you live and die in church leaves, stealing kisses made of lace. John Wayne, all the good ones are gone. John Wayne, you should have taught them all about shooting straight and riding hard. Man, woman's heart. Now, duty calls. So I'll see you in the movies when I close my eyes and I see you riding through our deserts and winning all the fights. When I find I'm weary, I'll see you loading up your guns, running off those bad guys, riding off into the sun.